Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, the Catholic Church, or interfaith relations. My visitor today is Felicity Jansonius. Felicity, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Felicity Jansonius is a Dutch Kiwi, and she is employed as Auckland University Student Accommodation Manager and has recently been appointed member of and co-president of the Council of Christians and Muslims. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Felicity, you are a Student Accommodation Manager. Can you tell us more about this role?
So I manage a building of 550 students, specifically first-year students at the University of Auckland. So what that role is essentially I manage the day-to-day operations, so the catering, the maintenance, the cleaning, as well as the kind of pastoral care for the students and the staff within it.
What do you mean with catering? Do you cater for the students?
Yes.
They don't cook themselves?
These students don't cook for themselves, no. We actually provide all of their meals.
So that it's like a hotel for students?
I'm not sure if they would describe it like that, but yes, essentially, we just try and make it as easy as possible for our students so that they can really focus on their studies.
Yeah.
And we kind of take care of the day-to-day things for them so that they don't have to worry about where am I going to get my meal from or do I need to clean the bathroom. It's very much they've got their own space. They can come down to the dining room to eat, and we try and make it super easy.
Oh, that must be also expensive for the students, isn't it?
Expensive. It's tricky when you're living in Auckland. I think it's definitely very reasonable, and especially kind of the experience that comes along with living in accommodation. I think it's a very transformative experience, and I think we have such a focus on academics as well. So we really try and ensure that students are getting the most out of their experience.
Do you also organize things for the students, like little events or some gatherings, or do they do it themselves?
No. So you're absolutely right. So we actually have a very robust engagement program. So most weeks we have lots of things going on, ranging from sporting events to cultural events, both on a smaller basis with, a handful of students, all the way to 550 students being able to get involved with what we're trying to do. And on top of that, we also have a very good, robust academic mentoring program as well.
And do the students also get involved in the community, in the city? It's in the city, isn't it?
Yes, we're located in Auckland Central, so we do also have a volunteering and charity group, and we actually go out into the community and help Aucklanders because we are part of the Auckland community, so we do feel like we have that sense of responsibility and duty to give back.
Yeah, but you also motivate the students to just look out what other community groups there are, because if they only focus on the studies, that can be quite tedious sometimes.
Oh, totally.
So just to have some ideas of where to go and what to do, and maybe they find some inspiration for wherever go back to their country or another part of New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely right, because we try and really encourage that balance between study and, living your life as well, because if you just spend all your time in the books, that's not very productive either. So you're absolutely right.
And how old are the students usually?
So most of the students are about 18, 19 years old.
Yeah. So they've just finished school.
They've just finished high school, yes.
And do they come from different countries?
Totally. So we have a very diverse range of students. Coming from all over New Zealand, all over the world, and they kind of have one thing in common, I suppose, like one main thing in common, and being students and going through that transition together.
Mm. And they have different subjects, so they do have different concerns and different schedules.
Of course, yes. So most of our students study everything that the university essentially offers them, so it is very diverse in their study choices as well.
And do you feel sometimes like a mother for all these students?
I try not to be, because I'm sure they have great parental figures themselves, but I think there are times where I do feel a little bit authoritative perhaps, and try and ensure that the community standards are upheld. Yes.
You don't get phone calls, please watch my son or my daughter.
All the time. So that's why, yeah, so parents contact me to make sure that I'm like a parent maybe closer by. But obviously they are 18 years old, so there's not a lot that I can tell the parent. I'm supposed to reassure them that things are well. So go back to the student and say, okay, your mum rang me today. Make sure you're touching base with her and check in a little bit more often.
Well, that's nice, yeah. So you're the contact and liaison person also.
Yes, but I really try to encourage the student to be that contact directly with their own home base, because I think it's part of being an adult is, you know, maintaining those relationships yourself.
And do you have other people to support you? Because you can't do that 24 hours, do you?
No, I do have we have a really large team. So we have 17 resident advisors, which are essentially like older students who have kind of been there, done that, who live on site as well. And then obviously we've got an admin team and evening support as well. So we have a very large team to make sure it all runs very smoothly.
Oh, that's great. For those of you just who were listening to Muffin Talk with Beate, this program is brought to you by the Mercer Spirituality Centre in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/Muffin Talk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Centre. My visitor today is Felicity Janzonius. She has recently been appointed co-president of the Council of Christians and Muslims. Now, she's just told me a little bit about, or us about the work that she's doing with the students. So she's together with a lot of different cultures and different languages at the student accommodation program. And now you are the co-president of the Council of Christians and Muslims. How did you get involved in this council? How did you first get in touch with it?
That's a really good question. So I think since moving to Auckland, I was very lucky to be very well connected within the parish, and really connected also with the Auckland kind of youth ministry as well. So in terms of making those connections, they were very big on, you know, concepts of like love thy neighbour and trying to get out into the community and start those interfaith connections and dialogues with people. So through the parish, essentially, I made connections.
Which parish?
St. Patrick's.
So in the cathedral?
Yes, that's right. And so through that, I managed to get in touch with other people, and this came across my plate, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to kind of extend myself a little bit further as well.
To get to know your neighbour.
Love the neighbour, yes, exactly.
And I understand that you studied religion.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us more about these studies? Were they studies about a certain religion or religion in general?
Mm-hmm. So I studied religious studies at Victoria University of Wellington, and initially I wanted to study it to kind of get to know my faith better. So I had an idea of wanting to learn more about Christianity in kind of a broader sense, other than kind of the Bible study that I was used to. And then I suppose the more that I started learning, the more I wanted to learn, especially also about other faiths, because I felt like it strengthened my own faith when I was exploring others. Because I think growing up, I was always very intrigued by religion. I think the rituals, the beliefs, the stories that come along with that made me go, okay, there is a big wide world with lots of diversity. How can I start to understand it better and kind of understand my place in the world and how my religion has affected that, essentially? So that's kind of the decision that I made then going to university, was to actually become more in touch with my own faith, but then also the faith of others.
It reminds me of what Goethe once said: "You don't know another language if you don't know another language if you don't know anything of your own language." That's when you learn another language, you learn about your language.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, absolutely right, and that's exactly how I felt about my faith.
Same with a religion.
Yeah.
So you learned about your own Christianity through learning about other faiths and other religions.
And I think a big part of that as well was also making connections with the people. Mm-hmm. So I was very lucky to be able to go to Australia to an interfaith conference with my cohort. And we were essentially from the Abrahamic faiths. And so making those connections with those people afterwards, we were so inspired to actually get together more frequently and continue that dialogue as young people to see, okay, what is it that is affecting us as Christians, Jews and Muslims in New Zealand, and how do we kind of work together and continue to establish this relationship so that it's even stronger.
So did you have a focus on the Abrahamic religions?
We did at that time, yes, because we were, I think, just the largest group that were there.
So tell us more about these studies.
More about these studies.
Yeah.
So, yes, I went down the path then of wanting to learn more about Islam specifically. I think growing up in Europe during kind of a time of, I think, great change. It was interesting to see a synagogue or a mosque next to a church and be very used to seeing women wearing a hijab. And so it was very normal to kind of be exposed to lots of different languages and cultures and faiths from a young age. So I think then coming to university, when the opportunity presented itself to be able to learn more about Islam specifically, I really jumped on that and wanted to make sure that I was learning everything I could. And it really kind of opened my eyes to a different world as well.
Did you also learn some Arabic?
No, I actually didn't read learn any Arabic, but it was always something that I'm interested in, and I think in the future it's something I'll be exploring further.
Yeah, because usually it's always good to know the origin
mm-hmm.
on the language. That I think that the students do have to learn Arabic, don't they? The Muslim students?
I think if you're reading the Quran, yes, absolutely. But we were more learning the actual faith as opposed to the teachings, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And the students in your class at university, were they also of different religions or mm-hmm. mainly Christians?
No, it was a very diverse class. So we had everything from atheists to Christians, Muslims. That's why it was so fascinating, was to really be able to engage with all these different people who are trying to understand this faith.
And so your whole studies was already interfaith?
It was.
People.
Yeah. I think that was probably, like I said, the biggest part of what I kind of got out of it was to really make connections with people and continue the conversation outside of the lecture theatre.
Yeah, that's great. And so you had a special interest in Islam. That's what you said.
Mm.
And what is it what drew you to Islam? It could be Judaism, because if you're thinking of the people of the book.
Mm. I'm just trying to think why it is specifically Islam. I think... I think the community that I was living in, we had a mosque right in the center of the city, so maybe that maybe played a part in it, hearing the calls to prayer and seeing a lot of women wearing hijabs, for example. I think it very much felt like part of my community, and so wanting to learn more about that, I think, was kind of the gradual progression from that, because at school I went to a Catholic primary school, and so it was always interesting to see, obviously, we were all Catholics at the school, so then it was like that part of the community was then excluded. So this was then a way to kind of understand it better and make that connection afterwards.
And you are now the co-president of the Council of Christians and Muslims. This means that you, as a Catholic, will be representing all Christians in Auckland. In regard to this role, have you already been in touch with other Christian denominations?
Those conversations have definitely started. When you say, are we representing the Christians of Auckland, it feels like a very big task all of a sudden and a lot of responsibility. But no, those conversations have started, and it's very exciting to open my emails and see the dialogue that has already begun. So I'm very excited to see where this actually leads, and because I really believe that there is a place for every denomination within the council. So I really want every denomination to be able to, you know, speak for themselves as well and actually really have a voice within the council.
So you'd integrate the others, the
of
other
course.
Denominations, whoever gets in touch with you?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'll learn also with the time what problems or what challenges other denominations see.
Of course, because there's a place for everybody. And I think... one of the challenges that I see is that when I went to a meeting that we already had, it's interesting because you're all on the same page because you're kind of essentially all invested in the interfaith dialogue or having that conversation with each other. So who I'd like to kind of encourage to actually come along are those who haven't been part of that fold yet and maybe reach a little bit further and really make sure that we are being as representative as possible.
I think that's a big challenge. It's like what the Interfaith Council does with the shared space, the sacred spaces. Because if you have sacred spaces and only those who are already involved in interfaith are going to be there, that will be very disappointing. Because in fact, it's an invitation to everybody, especially those who are not yet involved,
exactly
so that
right.
they lose their fear or their prejudices or whatever, and that they see that they are welcomed in the different sacred spaces.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want to just keep preaching to the converted, really. You want to start looking further and going, you're all welcome, and come along and engage with us and have those shared experiences with us.
And you've heard about Keith Rowe, certainly, and he was a predecessor in your role. He once said, both congregations preach acceptance, understanding and friendship, but it can be hard to know where to begin. Have you had the same feeling that it seems to be hard to know where to begin?
See, I think it's already begun, though. Those connections and that friendship, I think the foundation is there. It's about bringing people into that and kind of making sure that there is a space for it and that people want to be a part of the conversation and be part of the dialogue and the connection. It's hard to begin, maybe, but this fund, like this council's been going for a long time now, and I see some of the great work that it's done, especially with its PeaceNIC and some of the discussions.
Can you say something about the PeaceNIC, because not everybody knows about it?
Yeah, so once a year we have a PeaceNIC, which is essentially like a peace picnic to bring the two faiths together and essentially break bread together and share food and experiences in a really relaxed setting to ensure that people feel really comfortable without kind of the pressure of having to maybe discuss, you know, their faith or their backgrounds. It's just a place to be yourself and be together, really. So I see that the council does events like that, and so it's begun. I think the connections have begun. It's about how do we maintain that, ensure that we bring in the younger generation to actually continue those conversations, and how do we make it relevant to today.
Have you heard about the interview that I did with Jocelyn Armstrong and the girls from the diocesan school for girls? It was, I did the interview a few weeks ago, and they were talking about the Leadership Diversity Day, and the students were very, very interested. And I think that this event at the Marae, this just pulled down some walls.
Mm.
And the good thing is that these girls will talk to other girls or other people, and hopefully this will spread.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because when I talk to people as well about the kind of work that the council does, they all seem very interested and they want to be a part of it. So it's about reaching further and making sure that people know so they can actually make the decision then to come along.
What kind of ways do you use to get people to know about it?
I think email has been our biggest one, and word of mouth. But I think now that I'm also involved, I think, and there's also a Facebook group as well, so social media definitely. But I think we are going to expand that a lot more and make sure that the websites were like easily accessible and pops up when you search for the council and things as one of the first things. So we want to make it so that the information's there and that we're transparent and that people can see us and connect with us.
Mm-hmm. And how many people are on this council?
I think it ranges. So they've got a core group, but in terms of events, I think it fluctuates between anywhere between 20 and hundreds of people that want to come to an event.
Yeah. And what kind of events, can you give us some examples?
So the Peace Picnic, as well as we do like lectures and guest speakers.
Lectures, okay.
And guest speakers, so we have people coming in and discussing things that are relevant to both Christians and Muslims. And I think we're trying to expand on that as well, because we try and do a couple of events per year. But we might actually have to branch out a little bit and maybe have some specific youth events. And then lectures, like trying to become more applicable to the different groups.
And what is the reaction that you feel from other people, except for young students who are already interested? Do you also have people say, well, what's the use of it? It doesn't help anyway.
Not yet. I think because maybe also my sphere of influence, I suppose, or my connections, people tend to be quite open to it because I have, you know, open-minded friends and connections. So not yet, but I think once we maybe start to open up that dialogue, perhaps there might be some pushback. But I believe in what we're doing, and I think there is a space for it. And I'm really encouraged. So I think regardless of what maybe the pushback we receive, I think it actually, if anything, sends me a really clear message that if anything, we really need to then still have something like this in Auckland.
Are you going to get involved in the next Leadership Day?
Yes.
Well, Jocelyn will be very happy about this. That's great.
No, of course. I'm very excited to get involved and really put the name of the council out there, as well as making sure that we are continuing these conversations.
Yes. And I think that, what about the Muslims? Are they also learning a lot about the Christians, the way that you are learning about the Muslims?
I would assume so. Yeah. Trying to think of specific examples, but I think it's more like as we connect, those conversations will also naturally grow.
Yes.
And more information will come out as well. So I think there's space for it.
And the other co-president is from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So he is from a country also with many different religions. Absolutely. And different ethnicities.
Mm.
And so what are your hopes and dreams for the work of the Council of Christians and Muslims in Auckland?
I would love to reach more people. I really would like to expand as much as possible so that people really know about it and that it's a place where everyone belongs, and that they feel like there is that their voices are being heard and that they're learning something, having shared experiences. So I think essentially building on what we've already got within the council.
And is there a national component? Is there a national meeting also?
Oh, I'm unsure, but if I'm sure if there's demand for it, there would be.
But you'd be supportive if anybody from another part of the country says, oh, could you come and speak to our students, for example?
You
would be happy to come.
Of course.
So that's great. And I hope that I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much
for what you're doing. And sounds really, really exciting because you've now just stepped into the role. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I can't ask you about all the experience on the council, but at least you have the passion for it.
Mm. And I think definitely if we check in again in the new year, hopefully we'll be able to tell you a bit more about the things that we've done.
Yes, and maybe next year when you have the plans, then you can also promote the plans on the radio.
Oh, exactly.
So now the thing that is coming up is the Sacred Spaces, which is in the beginning of November, and from the 4th to the 12th of November, and that is organized by the Auckland Interfaith Council. And if anybody wants to know more about it, I can give you the website, and I'll put the poster up on our Facebook page at Te Ngaka Wai Ora. And I'm sure that you will also come.
Oh, I'll be there, of course.
We'll have the beginning, the opening event will be in the in a Muslim mosque, and then we'll have the closing also in the Muslim mosque. And the reason for that is because we wanted to start on a Sunday and finish on a Sunday. And, of course, the Christian churches are busy on Sundays. They couldn't open the doors for this event, but we'll have the Anglican and the Catholic churches, the Anglican Cathedral and the Catholic Church in Takapuna will be the Christian representatives, if you want to say it like this, of the sacred spaces. But we have a Buddhist temple and a Hindu and a Sikh temple. So I think every day between the 4th of November and the 12th of November, you can go to different places.
Wow, it's amazing.
And I hope to see you then there.
Yeah, no, definitely I will be. It's a great idea.
Thank you very much, Felicity, and thank you for coming here.
Thank you so much for hosting me.
And so what's coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? On the weekend of the 28th and the 29th of October, Sister Anne Warren will facilitate a workshop on exploring life's transitions. And in the light of the 500 years since the starting of the Reformation, we are going to have two talks about this topic with Nick Thompson. He was in my interview last week. And one talk will be on the 30th of October. It's a Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. And then on Monday, the 6th of November, from 7 to 9 p.m. And on Wednesday, the 15th of November, looking forward, there will be Deacon Danny Karatea Gotthard from 7 to 9 p.m. He will come to our center and give a presentation with the title, God Speaks to Me in Māori. He will help us looking at the story of the coming of the Word and Christianity through Māori eyes. For all our events at the center, please register with us per phone at 09-638-6238 or via our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a good Friday and a good week ahead, and thank you, Felicity, for joining us. Mm-hmm.